This is the first week of Advent, 4 Sundays away from Christmas. Can you believe that already? Yeah. And so, you know, it's Advent week 1. This is the week of hope. Amen. Who's got hope this morning? Amen. I tell you, there's a hope in this coming light is what we'd celebrate. And so today we start this journey of Advent, and it's the hope found in the coming light of Christ. And we acknowledge, though, in this world is filled with darkness. That's not stopped. Even since Christ came, He came into a world filled with darkness. And let me tell you, you look around in this world today, and it's just filled with darkness, isn't it? And they need Jesus. And Jesus left us here, you know. He saved us and sanctified us, and He said, now go share the light. Go share me with everyone, right? And so we've been challenged. So we have to acknowledge right now this morning that there is darkness in this world. And this darkness in this world needs a light. It needs Jesus. And, you know, there's a great truth found in John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Isn't that something? You think about that. The light dispels darkness. And I've done this before as an example. I've shut all the lights off, and you put a flashlight over your head. If you've ever been out at night and you've had a flashlight in your hand, if that flashlight's on, if you're carrying that light, guess what it does? It dispels the darkness, right? The darkness doesn't dispel the light. The light dispels the darkness. And it lights your feet. It lights your path. It helps you see where you're going, but guess what? When you shut the light off, what happens? You're in darkness again, right? And you're walking in darkness, and that's what this world is like. They're stumbling around in this world in darkness, and they just need a flashlight, right? And they just need a light. They need Jesus in their light so they can see where they're going. And in that place where they're going, guess what? They need to know how to get to heaven, don't they? And that light shines the clear path to heaven. Without that, we can't see where we're going. We're lost. We're just wandering around. We don't know the path. We're just wandering around confused. Our world often appears filled, almost covered, really, in darkness. And it's a darkness of despair. It's a darkness of doubt. It's a darkness of uncertainty. You know, those people are not sure. They're not sure where they're going. If they died today, they don't know where they're going. Amen, brother. They have doubt in their life because of things. And they live in despair. I've made jokes about the old hee-haw show. You know, the old boys that sit on the log and saying gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Because if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You guys all know this, don't you? Gloom, despair. And we have a world that's filled with gloom and despair in their life. Agony and uncertainty. And yet the promise given, this light of Christ, shines through the deepest, darkest valleys of your life. A lot of people go through some hard times. I know I have. I think we've all been there. And sometimes it's maybe not a physical problem, but maybe sometimes it's an emotional or you know, problem that we go through, a really deep, dark place. As a psalm, it says here in Psalms 27, so the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Man, He is our strength. He is our light in this darkness. And here David is writing this, and he's in a dark place at this time. And he's like, but yet, who should I be afraid of? I shouldn't be afraid. I have Jesus, or I have God in my life, right? I have God in my life. I shouldn't be afraid of anything. If my life ends today, guess what? I'm not afraid of that. Why? Because I have Jesus. I have no doubt. I have no fear of where my destination is, right? That's my hope in Jesus, right? He gives me that hope. He gives me that understanding. When we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, even if we are encountering the darkest moments of our life, guess what? The truth is that Christ's light is not dimly lit, right? It's bright. It is bright. It is a bright light that can dispel every shadow of darkness in our life. And if you're one here this morning and you're going through that dark time, let me tell you, Jesus can brighten your day. He can. He can light it up. The promise of light, though, in the Scripture in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. I remember growing up on the farm, and it was like we used to raise these bottle calves, and we'd keep them in a stall sometimes, and it seems like when you'd open the door and let them out, or if they saw you coming with buckets, you know, they knew what that meant. And they would just come running, bucking and kicking, and I mean, just with joy. And I like I said, when we started up this morning, I think, can't we just jump for joy at times for Jesus? I mean, can't we be excited that we serve Jesus, right? That He is in our hearts, and we know where we're going. I know where I'm going, John, right? Amen. I know my destination. And I want to shout it from the rooftops. You know, David, when he brought the ark back in town, the ark's back in town, right? That was a song right there that they wrote. The ark is back in town. I'm telling you, they were playing. He's like, just play the cymbals and let's blow the horns and let's make a big deal out of this. And here's David. You know, he takes off his robe, you know, so he's not wearing his robe. And I can just see him, the shirtless guy, the king of, you know, of Israel, dancing in the streets, right? Jumping and leaping. I'm just saying, in his loincloth. Now, I don't know if any of us should go that far, especially at church, right? But let me tell you, in his heart, he was praising God because he knew the provisions that God provided for him, the promises that God had given him. You know, that Jewish tradition states that the book of Malachi was actually written by the prophet Ezra. Do you know that? Little history there. And the word Malachi, you know what it means? The word Malachi is defined by, is my messenger. That's the word Malachi means. That's what the name means. His messenger. And in this prophecy, we find the promise of a great light coming into the world. And that light, foretold by centuries before Christ's birth, is the Son of Righteousness bringing healing and dispelling the shadows. Throughout the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, guess what it's about? Jesus. It's about Jesus. And, you know, I think about the sunrise after a long night. If you've ever, you know, been up before daybreak, or if you've ever been up all night, and it's been cold. I remember when I was in the military, we used to have to pull guard duty, and sometimes it'd be real cold like this time of year. And, you know, and right when the sun come up, and you would feel that sun on your face, it was like the greatest feeling ever, just to feel the warmth of the sun. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but that's what Jesus is like in our hearts and in our lives, isn't it? It's like it just warms you, that feeling of warmth. The Son of Righteousness not only dispels darkness but brings healing, just as the dawn not only ends the night but ushers in a new day of hope. Amen. You know, there's hope in Christ's arrival. We can celebrate that. We know that Jesus has already come, but we celebrate this. We celebrate what he has done. In Romans chapter 15, 13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Now, that translation, the NIV says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe that the Holy Spirit is important, don't we? Man, there's nothing more important in your life than the power of the Holy Spirit, the source, right? The power source. You know, we anticipate the celebration of Christ's birth. And I mean, who's ready for Christmas, right? You guys got frowns on your face when I started talking about Christmas being 4 weeks away. It's a busy time of the year. And sometimes we get caught up in buying Christmas presents. Black Friday, we're out there shopping, trying to find the best deal. Walmart has good deals on TVs. They have doorbuster deals on TVs. We didn't buy a TV, by the way. Yeah. Walmart had turkeys on sale. They did. 50 cents a pound. I thought that was pretty good. I think Kroger had them beat at 39 cents a pound or something like that. It was a crazy deal. Anyway, get off of that. Sometimes what my point is sometimes we get so caught up in the buying of the presents and putting up the Christmas tree and all that kind of stuff that we forget about what the season is really all about. And that's to celebrate Christ. To remember, listen, Christ came. He was born of a virgin and all these things happened. This is who he was promised to come into this world and he did. He did. So we anticipate that. Even if our life is not going so good right now. You know, the first Sunday of Advent is traditionally when the first Advent candle is lit to celebrate this hope that we have in Christ. And this light that really guides our paths and guides our lives through the darkness, that, you know, those moments in our life where we're like David hiding in a cave and he's like, man, I'm supposed to be the king of a nation. You anointed me as king and here I am in a cave running for my life. That's a pretty dark moment, but there's many times we have those dark moments in our life where we think, man, this is not really what I thought God wanted. God, what's going on here? But David trusted God. So we light this first candle today of hope. This candle of hope. I hope this week you, no pun intended, I hope this week that you think about that. Think about the hope that you have in your life. You know that light within us, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16? It says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. Such a great scripture. The hope we find in the coming light of Christ is not just external, but it's internal. Amen. And as believers, we carry this light within us, and it's our responsibility to let it shine. this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's that little old song has been sung for I don't know how many years in the church. Many, many, many years. And it's a simple song, but it's a truth. We let our light shine. How can you hide that under a bushel? How can you hide that in the closet? How can you cover up the light that's in your heart? Amen? Come on now. D.L. Moody, he challenged us one time when he said this: we are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. Amen? Man, if you've got Jesus shining in your life, you don't really have to tell anybody about it because they're going to know. Amen? It helps us navigate through the shadows of life. Psalms chapter 23, verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Isn't that wonderful? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Man, that's a beautiful, beautiful word to us. You know, life's journey, it often takes us through valleys of dark, valleys of shadows. And the hope is in Christ that light is not the absence of shadows, but the assurance of His constant presence guiding us and comforting us through that. It's not that we won't go through dark places. It's that when we do go through those dark places, Jesus is there with us. Right? And we don't have to fear it. He doesn't fear death, because He's with us. Christ's light is our guide. It's a lantern. You know, a lantern in the hand of a guide leading a group through a dark forest. I think about that. Christ's light is our guide. It provides comfort and protection even in the midst of uncertainties. You know, it's an adventurous hope. Our life is an adventure, isn't it? Let me tell you, mine has been. It's been a crazy adventure at times. There's moments that it's not been so crazy, but I look back at my life and I think, man. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Man, it enters into your heart, into the innermost parts of your heart, your life, inside you. And it's your anchor. It's what keeps you together. Sometimes I know that we felt like we're just going to go nuts, right? You've had those moments in your life where you felt like you just couldn't handle it any longer. I have. But you know what kept it all together? Jesus. I couldn't have done it without Jesus in my life. You know, our hope is in the coming light is not timid or passive. Do you know that? We're to be bold in our faith. We're to preach the truth everywhere. Some people don't believe that. And you know, they're passing laws now, ordinances in public places in some of our cities that you can't preach or share the gospel in certain areas. Do you know that? Guess what? We've got preachers out there getting arrested because guess what? They're like, you ain't stopping me from preaching the gospel. You're not stopping me from sharing the light. And Canada's pretty much outlawed it. And they'd like to do it here, but let me tell you, we got to stand strong, church. We got to be bold in our faith and let our light shine bright and not hide them. Not be passive with our faith. It's an adventure. It's what holds us together in the storms of life, leading us into the very presence of God. Amen? I read it once said that the greatest adventure is what lies ahead. What lies ahead for you? Is it a greater boldness in your faith? I would hope so, because that means that something's resonated in your life and Jesus is working in your life. The closer you get to Jesus, the more boldness you'll have. Let me tell you. It's hope in action. Right? Hope in action. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord." Have you done that this morning? Amen?
Amen.
Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You have that? That answer, right? Always have an answer. Always have an answer. But do this with gentleness and respect. We got to remember that. Because that's the love of Christ, right? He's like, don't you have an answer? I wonder sometimes, because we have so many passive Christians in our world today. They don't know what they believe, really. They don't know. I don't know that they really understand the hope that they really have. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord." I must have the wrong scripture. Our hope is not just a personal experience, but a beacon that others should notice. That's what I see in the scripture. So today, when we celebrate this Advent, this week, you celebrate this week of hope, okay? Not just today, not just this hour or 30 minutes that we're here, but this whole week that you celebrate the light of hope. Christ is a light that burns bright even in the darkest circumstances, and we can never forget that. And Jesus is more than just a hope we receive, but He's the hope that we must share with others. Because our hope in Christ must not be selfish. We got to share it to light the paths of others' feet. And because guess what? You know, I know Jesus came 2,000 years ago, but guess what? Jesus is coming back again. And the prophets told about Jesus coming, guess what? We're telling about Jesus coming, right? That's our job. This hope is found in the coming light. And Christ can't be confined in your hearts. Amen?
Amen.
You can't lock Him up in a closet in your heart, in your life. Doesn't work that way, does it? Because let me tell you, the door of your closet won't hold Him. And I don't think He would just unlock it. I think He'll kick it down. Amen? You know, sometimes I think as Christians, we should look at ourselves as like we're walking with a group of people in a dark, dark place. And we're the only ones holding the flashlight. You hear me? So who do you shine your flashlight on? The whole group or just certain people? Well, I'll light this person's feet. Not you. Not you. Sorry you fell. Sorry you ran into a tree. Fell off into a ditch. I feel bad. You should have stayed closer to me. I got the light. Sometimes we're like that. Jesus is like, you need to be the leader. You need to gather everyone together. And you need to shine the light in front of everybody's feet so they can see where they're going. Not everybody will follow you. Who here this morning is not willing to share their light? You know, as we navigate through this world of darkness, of life, that we got to let our lights within us guide and comfort everyone that we know. And as others witness that, they'll know who you belong to. They'll know where your hope is found. And that's in Jesus, right? We want to see people come to Christ. Guess what? You got to show Christ to people. Right? You got to show who you belong to, because they're going to ask you, how come you're like you are? Well, let me tell you, Jesus came into my life one time. And He changed me. I'm not who I used to be. I may look the same. Maybe a little less hair now than I did. But Jesus changed me inside, and I'm not the same person I used to be. So this advent of hope, it has a lot of meaning to us. There's advent, the hope came in prophecy, okay? Before Messiah ever came, and Christmas, the clue is in the name, right? When we talk about Christmas, I want to get back to that. How do you say Christmas? Is it just Christmas? What does it mean to you? Or is it Christmas? You know? It's all in how you say it, right? It's Christmas to me, right? It's all about Christ. I love gifts. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what it's all about, is it? Instead of celebrating the gift, it should be the gift of Jesus, right? That's the precious gift. Worship Him. Make time for Him on Christmas Day. Try not to preach too long this morning. But I'm only halfway done. I got you excited, didn't it? No. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. But in your today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. We find our hope in prophecy. The Old Testament is filled with prophecies about the coming Messiah. And these are prophecies. They offer us hope, a hope fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah is a great example. It is proclaimed centuries before Jesus' birth. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And in Micah chapter 5, we find another prophecy that speaks of the Messiah's birthplace. "But you, O Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler of Israel, whose origins from of old, from ancient times." That's a good prophecy. I challenge you to reflect on these prophecies this week. And when you do, you'll recognize that our hope is anchored in God, who keeps His promises. The Messiah, He foretold the prophets. It's not just historical, right? It's not just a historical, or Jesus is not just a historical figure, what I'm trying to say. Jesus is relevant to us today as He was in the prophecies. And the prophecies are not just stories of the past. They're the living promise that brings hope to our present circumstances today. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, we have, it says this, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. I mentioned that scripture before. Because that verse illustrates the strength and reliability of the hope that we have in Christ. It's like the anchor that keeps us secure amidst the uncertainties of life. It keeps a boat in place when you drop anchor. There's prophecies fulfilled in Christ. We find He was born of a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Lord Himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, born of a virgin Mary, right? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We find the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. It points a clear picture of all of this suffering servant, a prophecy clearly written foretelling the crucifixion of Christ as well. And this Isaiah 53, it's often considered one of the most profound and detailed prophecies about the suffering Messiah. And the whole chapter describes the Messiah as a figure who would endure great sufferings, rejection, and death with His ultimate purpose, bearing our sins or the sins of humanity. So the key points in Isaiah 53, and I hope that you get it and read it this week. We find a suffering and rejection in Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest griefs. We turned our backs on Him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. I'm reading out of the NLT this morning. I know Verna has it in NIV. This aligns with the gospel accounts of Jesus' rejection by His own people and the sorrow and the grief He experienced all the way to crucifixion. We find this bearing of our sins in verses 4 and 5. He said, yet it was our weaknesses He carried. It was our sorrow that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment from His own sins. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. And He was beaten so we could be whole. Amen? And we find that He was whipped so we could be healed. Pierced for our rebellion and crushed for our sins. And this is clearly the crucifixion that it talks about in the prophecies. His hands were pierced through with nails, and He bore the weight of humanity's sins. That bearing of weight means He had to hold Himself up just to breathe. When you know what it means to be crucified, if you've ever read about what crucifixion does to the human body. You're hung in a way that your body droops down and you can't breathe. And so you have to pull yourself up just to take a breath. And He bore the weight of our sins until He took His last breath. We find a silent suffering in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He says He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet He never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, He did not open His mouth. And that really mirrors the gospel account of Jesus remaining silent during his trial. Even when false accusations were brought against him, he didn't say a word. We find his death and burial in Isaiah 53 verse 9. There he said, "He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave." Jesus' death as a blameless individual and his burial in a rich man's tomb find parallels in the Bible's account of his crucifixion and burial by Joseph, the one who stepped up, Arimathea, Joseph, and gave him his tomb. It's a powerful, specific prophecy fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's important. We find triumphal entry in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, foresaw the Messiah's entry into Jerusalem on a donkey. It says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." That's not a coincidence, is it? We find betrayal for 30 pieces of silver in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 in the Old Testament. The betrayal of the Messiah for 30 pieces of silver fulfilled Judas's actions in Matthew chapter 26 and 15. Encouragement and a call of action should be noticed in all this. You hear me? You guys are so excited this morning. I can see it written all over your faces. The Messiah who came once in the same, who promises to come again. Amen?
Amen.
The Messiah who came once in the same way promises to come again. Amen? I said that twice, didn't I? On purpose. That wasn't a mistake. Sometimes I wonder if I shouldn't just preach the same message a couple, two or three weeks in a row. Just to see if you guys remember. I wonder how many times I would change it. Because I know I would. You know, this Advent season should have a lot of meaning to us. It should be a special time. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about what was foretold about him thousands and thousands of years ago. And it actually came to fruition 2,000 years ago. And it's still happening and coming to fruition today. The prophecies are happening all around us. You open up your eyes and I'm like, I'm excited about these times because I see these things happening around us and I'm like, man, could this be it? Could this be it right here? Peace deals in Israel and in the Arab nations and all these things. And you know, the trump's going to sound, whether it be Donald or Barron, and the dead in Christ is going to rise. No, I'm joking. I mean, you know, but I see these things happening. And it makes me excited because I know that when these things do come together, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's going to set everything right. He's going to make everything right here on this earth. And whether I see it here or whether I'm part of it when I come back with Him, amen. Is I'm either going to be caught up in the air with him or I'm going to be coming down from with him, right? One or the other. It's one or the other. And let me tell you, when he comes back, he's not going to be coming back as the gentle servant. sword in hand. He's going to be the warrior that he was before time began. In the Old Testament, he defeated Satan and cast him down to the ground. Cast him out. There was a great war that happened in heaven. And it said his robe drenched with blood as the dragon fell. That's in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament. He'll come back as that warrior. And he'll take his defeat. There won't be the evil and the darkness that we see now. Our hope is in that eternal promise. Amen? That's where our hope is. And this Advent season, I'm telling you, it should really mean everything. We are told to let our light shine. So that's I want to leave you with that one this morning. Let your light shine. The hope we carry, the light within us, is not meant to be hidden or reserved solely for ourselves. It's a radiant light meant to guide others to the source of light, and that source of light is Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great group of people that have come here. Lord, they didn't come here for me. They came here for you. They came here to celebrate and honor and glorify you. So Lord, I pray, Lord, as we humble ourselves to you today, Lord, that you ignite a flame within our hearts, that when we leave here today, we set this community on fire. Let your light shine from us. Let this church glow with the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for all that you're doing and everything that is said and God's people said in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.